الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، the subjects of character and manners in Islam is of extreme importance, so much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it as the core and the cream of his message. He said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have only been sent, إِنَّمَا لُلْحَصُرِ, which means only, I have only been sent to complete the honorable character, مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, and in another report, صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have only been sent to complete the good manners. So this is the only reason for the message of the Prophet ﷺ, or the main reason, the core, as I said, and the cream of the message of the Prophet ﷺ. In some usage in the Arabic, إِنَّمَا here, even though it means الْحَصَر, which means only for, or anything which comes in a way similar to it, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is only this thing. That means that this is the basic pillar or the basic reason for that thing. Another hadith like Al-Hajj Arafah. Hajj is just Arafah, to stand in Arafah. It doesn't mean that if you go to Arafah and come back, you have completed your Hajj. It means that Arafah is the main pillar of Hajj. But as for the good manners here, in this hadith, I will explain and show inshallah that the hadith means without exception, that this is the only reason and this is all what the message of Islam is about, to complete the good character, nothing else. How could it be? Does it mean that we do not have to pray or to fast or do the other requirements of Islam, as some people say? They say, I do not, Sahih, it's true that I do not pray, I do not do this, I do not do this, but I do not harm any Muslim, I do not wrong anyone, I am good in dealing with all people, so that is enough for me to enter the Jannah. This is a very bad misconception that some people say, and you can prove, as some scholars said, that when somebody gives you a statement, a wrong statement, you can prove it, if it's wrong from his own words. So this person, from his own words, you can prove him wrong. By saying, I do not harm to no, not to no one, he forgot that he does harm to his own self. By not praying, he is harming himself. He is missing this link between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is losing the support of Allah and all the benefits that come from the prayer. Similarly for Hajj, similarly for Siyam or fasting and so on. So, what I meant from this is that these people who have this understanding their understanding of khuluq, of character or manners, is too narrow. And this is not what the hadith refers to. When the Prophet ﷺ says, I only came to complete the good manners, he does not mean the good manners means that you are not supposed to lie, which is of the good manners, of course, and are not supposed to backbite, are not supposed to, or are supposed to remove the dirt from the way of people, and so on. This is not, or to deal with them in a fair way, this is not only what good manners is. Good manners is much wider than that. It reaches up to how is our manner and character in dealing with our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we deal with Him in the best possible way that we are supposed to deal with Him? As a creature is supposed to deal with His Creator? Or do we do injustice toward Him subhanahu wa ta'ala? As He said in the Hadith Qudsi, that the Prophet ﷺ reported that the human being has incurred injustice on me and on my كَانَ لَهُ ذَلِكَ, and he should not have done that because he took partners with me. So this is against injustice. We say we do not do injustice to this and this and this. We do injustice toward the one that we should be best in our manners with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, also a Qudsi hadith, Allah Azza wa Jal says about, gives the example in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the man who takes partners with Allah. He says this example is, or parable is like that of a man who hires someone or buys a servant. من خالص مالي من ورث وذهب, which means he buys him, spends a fortune of his wealth of gold and silver to buy him, and then he says هذه أرضي هذه داري وهذه أرضي فعمل وأدي إليه, this is my land, this is my house, so work here, I need you, I want you to work in my land, maybe plant things in it, clean my house and so on, work there, وَأَدِّي إِلَيْهِ, أَدِّي إِلَيْهِ means and give the outcome from your work to me. If you have any crops, if you get any plants from there, if you get anything, any profit, give it to me. فَكَانَ يَعْمَلُ وَيُؤَدِّي إِلَى غَيْرِ صَاحِبِهِ, but this servant, he used to work in this land and this house and give the outcome to someone else other than his owner or his master. So the Prophet ﷺ asks, فَأَيُّكُمْ يَرْضَى أَنْ يَكُونَ عَبْدُهُ كَذَلِكَ, which one of you will accept his servant to be like that? None of us. Then he said, وَكَذَلِكَ اللَّهُ, and so Allah created you, so and provided to you for you, so He gave us the house and the land to work in. We are supposed to work and give to Him, not to other people, which means we are supposed to worship Him alone. So do not take and join any partners with Him. So this is this example of that servant is an example of a very ill-mannered person. A very ill-mannered servant that he steals from the house of his master or the land of his master or the store of his master, and he goes and gives it to somebody else. Is this good manners? No. So as we say, as you see, the manners with Allah Azza wa Jalla, the good character with Allah, is the most important. And this is what Islam calls to. And this is of makarim al-akhlaq or salih al-akhlaq that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he was sent to complete it. Of the character, good character with Allah is to worship Him alone, to abide by what He commanded, and to abstain from what He prohibited. That's of the good manners with Him. When we say we are good to our parents, I'm good to my mother, if she asks me to do, we sometimes we praise somebody, we say, MashaAllah, this person is so obedient to his mother. If she asks him to get anything for her, to buy anything, he will do the impossible things to go and get it for her. He's so obedient. Or if she wants him to even divorce his wife, he is willing to divorce her for the sake of his mother. So people give the example of obedience, which is to the mother, like that. This is good character. How about the character with Allah Azza wa Jal, our Creator, who deserves most to be obeyed, and no obedience should supersede obeying him? And do we abide by his commands and stay away from his prohibitions? If we do, then this is a good manner also with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there is the good manners with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with the other prophets, to obey and abide by his sunnah, and to stay away from things that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited as well. This is of the good manner with the Prophet, in addition to other things that we are instructed to deal with him in a special way, like lowering our voice in his presence, like not doing najwa with him, and other things that are mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. Najwa means to go and sit and have secret talk with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in Surah Al-Mujadala. So there is good manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means the good manner of Allah means to obey Allah. The good manner of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means to abide by Sunnah, and these two together means are the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, to fulfill the shahada La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah in the proper way. This is the good manners with Allah and His Messenger, and this is all what Islam is about. So when he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have been sent only to complete good manners, this is true. Because good manners is not only limited to how I deal with my brother and my wife and my father and my neighbor and so on. This is part of it. But it extends to other people and to Allah also as well, how to deal with them. In some cases, in this hadith, the hadith is general in referring to makarim al-akhlaq as everything that a person has in his character and how he deals with others. In some hadith and some ayat, the reference is to something more specific, to our character in dealing with each other. And that is probably more specific to this talk today. So maybe the rest of the talk will be centered around this special case or special aspect of the good manners, which is how to deal with other people. Islam, of course, calls to this, and the Prophet ﷺ came to establish this at all levels, including this level, which we are discussing now, how to deal with each other. The one who possesses the good manners, the good character, is one of the most beloved to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved to Allah among you are those who are of best manners. And he said, the closest to me in their sitting on the Day of Judgment are those who are the best among you in character. So these are general about khuluq in general, without specifying any specific term of khuluq. In some other ahadith, he specified certain characters that the person who does this or who does that will get such a reward, such and such a reward, or will be close to me on their judgment, like the hadith which said, أَنَا وَكَافِرِ يَتِيمِكَ هَتَيْنِ يَا مَتِيَا. So, which means I and the one who guards, who is a guardian, who takes care of the yatim, of the orphan, we are like these two fingers on the Day of Judgment, which means very close to each other on the Day of Judgment. So this is one item, one example of good manners. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we would expect, he is the one who called us to Islam, who conveyed the message to us, who knows the message in the clearest way. How do we expect him to perform it and apply it? There is the hadith about the three people, you probably heard it many times. The three people are Rasul Salah, The hadith of Aram al-Thalatha, who came to the houses of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked his wives, the three people, asked one from one wife to the other and asked them, how is the worship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And they described his worship. They said, أَيْنَ نَحْنُ مَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَقَدْ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, which means, how are we to compare ourselves to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? Before this, in the hadith, the reporter says, Sahabi was reporting the hadith says, فَكَأَنَّمَا تَقَالُّوهَا, which means as if when the ibadah, the worship of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was described to them, as if they felt that it was too little. So they said to each other, how are we to compare ourselves with Allah's Messenger when Allah has forgiven all his sins for him? So he doesn't have to do much. He can do more. And then, you know the rest of the hadith, each one of them decided to do something special that he would compete in that thing with the Prophet ﷺ. Is this a correct understanding from these people or a wrong understanding? Question. What are the answers? It's easy. The answer is easy. Yes or no? It's not. Is this a correct understanding or wrong understanding? Wrong. As the Prophet ﷺ explained in the rest of the hadith, when he heard this, he became very angry because this is a big misunderstanding of Islam. So he came, he stood on the minbar and he gave a khutbah and he said, I am the one who fear Allah the most and who has taqwa of him the most. And yet, I fast on some days, break my fast on other days, pray part of the night, sleep other part of the night, and marry women. So whoever does dislikes my sunnah or turns away from sunnah is not one of me, one of my followers. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his great knowledge of Islam, with his awareness of his position before Allah azza wa jal, that no human being can compete with him in that. He is the one who knows how to please Allah the best, and he does that. He does just that. So his actions are the actions of the highest obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody, no Muslim can doubt this. And therefore what people like the Sufis claim, that if a person reaches a high degree of closeness to Allah, then he becomes at such a great level that he does not need anymore to worship Allah as much as the other people. So some of the worships become drops for him. So he does not have to pray, for example, or he does not have to pray the five prayers or things like that. So he's exempted from certain obligations. It's not true. The more that a person is close to Allah and knowing about him, the more that he would worship him in the proper way. And the Prophet's worship, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the best worship for Allah. Part of this worship is his character. Same thing, I mean, now we can draw the comparison. His character with Allah, could anybody compete with him in this? No. He was of the best character. His character is the best that any human being ever possessed. It was so great that Allah Azza wa Jal himself praised it. Praise the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, and indeed you are of great character. So it is a praise from Allah Azza wa Jalla to a human being. Can you imagine the greatness of this praise? Allah the greatest is praising one of his creatures by telling him, you are indeed of great character. His character surpasses the character of any other human being. And he was described in multitudes of ahadith. Actually, all of his sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, presents his character in the brightest and most beautiful way. So what we will be going over now, I'll just give some examples of what has been mentioned in the sunnah, very few examples, about his great character. He was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah described him, caring about the believers. He, as Allah says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضْلًا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. He said, because of a mercy of Allah, because of Allah's mercy, فَإِنَّ رَحْمَةِ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. You have been made lean with them, or kind towards them. Had you been salt, which means harsh and hard, harsh with them, they would have scattered from around you. So the Prophet ﷺ was very kind to his companions. He was caring about them, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Muhammad Rasulullah wa alladhina ma'ahu ashidda'u ala al-kuffari wa rahamahu bainahum. Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, and those with him, they are strong and hard against the believers, disbelievers, sorry, against the disbelievers, but they are merciful among each other. So the Prophet ﷺ was very merciful towards the believers. There are many examples about this. One example that comes to my mind now is that he was told, that he was described, that he would be walking and a woman, a poor woman that nobody knows, she's not a woman of importance or anything, comes and pulls him and takes him to see some of her needs for her children or something, to see what she's a poor woman who needs help. He goes with her and leaves any important business that he's doing to see what she needs, and then he comes back and continues with what he's doing. This was his character, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this happened even when he was inviting Adi ibn Hatim to Islam. When Adi came to Medina, and he was sitting with him and discussing with him and presenting Islam to him so that he would accept it. And Adi ibn Hatim was one of the greatest people in Arabia at that time. So it would be very important that he embraced Islam. Yet, Prophet ﷺ left him when a woman came and asked him for some help. He went and did, checked what she needed, gave her what she needed, and then came back and continued his message with him, or his discussion with him. He even cared about the mushrikeen, that they would embrace Islam, as I said in the previous talk, and I repeat it now, that his heart used to go after the believers, the disbelievers, hoping that they would accept his message. And Allah told him, فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَةً. Let not your soul go after them or be wasted because out of sorrow because of them, if they do not accept your message. So you see the extent of his mercy and loving the good to reach people extended even to those mushrikeen, whom he did not have any guarantee that they will enter Islam, and their entering Islam or rejecting it is only in the hand of Allah. Yet he was caring for them and hoping that they would see the truth and come to it. There are specific examples from the Sunnah on how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with members of his household, such as the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, in which he said that the Prophet ﷺ was never angry for himself, was never angry for the sake of himself. He would only get angry when one of the hurumat, one of the prohibitions and limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was overpassed or overstepped. Then he would be angry, such an anger that nothing would stand in his way. So this was the extent of the anger of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For whom? For himself? No, for Allah azza wa jalla. Here comes the question: is anger a good character or a bad character? Who says good? Who says bad? Who says good? Nobody says good, and we have three kids in the back who have the courage to say it is bad. The answer is that anger is sometimes good, sometimes bad. So you were half right, you were sometimes right. Even though in our time when we talk about anger, we usually mean the bad aspect of it. Because usually when a person gets angry, he gets angry for himself, because somebody hurt him. Not because he is angry for Allah. So such an anger is not a good anger. It's bad. So you are right in this. But as for a person who sits around watching people disobey Allah and violate Allah's limits, and he looks at them and smiles, that is indeed an evil person. And that is one of the people that Allah promised with the punishment in some ahadith, and even can be understood from the ayat of the Quran about the people of Israel, who when some of them used to disobey Allah, they used not to say anything on the day of on the day of Sabbath, of Saturday. So anger is important when we see the prohibitions of Allah being indulged in. And we have talked about this earlier, the previous talk, about the importance of this. Otherwise, we would start loving the Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ said, الديوث لا يدخل الجنة. لا يدخل الجنة الديوث. Who is the ديوث? ديوث is a person who sees a female member of his family doing something illicit, haram, with other men, and he does not care. In some cases, maybe he would even encourage her to do that. Like dress in an enticing way, or go and have a relationship, a haram relationship, with somebody, or just go for a walk and talk with somebody and so on. This is what a youth is. The Prophet ﷺ said such a person would not enter the Jannah. Such a person does not get angry when he sees the limits of Allah being overstepped. So the anger for Allah is a good character, but the anger for oneself is a bad character. It becomes a personal matter, as we describe it now. Our time. And we should not be personally angry, we should be angry for the sake of Allah alone. So the Prophet ﷺ never was angry for himself, as Aisha says. But when a limit from the limits of Allah is overstepped, he would be angry so that nothing would stand in the way of his anger. And there are many examples for this. For this general statement, there are many examples, like the example that I just said about the three men who said these things. Why was he angry? Because he said, how come, who can pray better than me? In the arrogant way that some of us would feel, I am the most pious, the most religious person, and so on, therefore I am angry, something like that. It's not like that for the Prophet ﷺ. He was angry because the statement of these people would be a great problem in belief. If it is carried to others and they believe in it, it is a great problem in Islam. To believe, for anyone to think that he can improve over the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. Similarly, when a man, when he divided the spoils of the battle among people in the Battle of Hunayn, and a man stood, and he disliked the division of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ divided the spoils of the battle in such a way as to give some people who are weak hearted, to give them more, so that they would come closer to Islam, love Islam more. And he did not give the Ansar anything, and the Ansar were displeased for it. To a certain degree, how can the Messenger of Allah give everybody except us? He says, wouldn't you be happy to have the Messenger of Allah with you? They said, that's enough for us. So they were pleased with him going back with them to Medina. A man stood when the Prophet ﷺ divided the spoils, and he said, هذه قسمة ما أريد بها وجه الله. This division, the strength of Allah was not sought by it, which means what you did not do it for the sake of Allah, but you did it for your hawa, for your desire. So what was the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Was he silent? Did he remain silent? No, because here there is a threat to Islam. This man is saying that the Prophet is not adil, is not just. And therefore his message is all doubtful. Because Allah is the one who teaches him. And he judges according to what Allah shows him. As Allah says in the Quran, وَأَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ مِمَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ. And judge among them according to what Allah has shown him. So what is this? Allah has shown him something that is unjust, that cannot be. And anybody who believes in this doubts the whole and full message of Islam. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ was very angry. And to the extent that Umar radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, let me chop his head. And he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, leave him because I do not want people to think that Muhammad is killing his companions, because people think that since he was with the army, therefore he's a companion, and Muhammad is killing his companions. So, but he warned about this man and his descendants in the rest of the hadith. So the Prophet ﷺ used to be angry for the sake of Allah, but if it is something personal for his own sense, he would not care at all. Hanas radiallahu anhu said, he said, I served the Messenger of Allah 10 years, and he would not blame me for anything. Whatever he served and whatever he did, he would not complain. And whatever he did, he wouldn't tell him why he did this, he could have done this in a better way. So this is the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, compare this, or before, let me mention a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. Within his household also, he said, the best among you is the one who is best to his family. And I am the best to my family. He is the best in character in dealing with his wife. Now, we can try to compare ourselves to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please try and see how many times we become angry for no reason with our wife. And she does something. She is a human being. She is not a slave for us. She is a human being like us. And she does something. She is serving us. A free servant in the house. And yet, she does something and we become angry without reason. We have some problem with somebody at work or in the street, and we come and spill all of our anger over her head. And for anything, the food that she serves, it is a little less salt or a little more salt. What is this food? I don't want to eat it. This is how we deal. So our anger is not for Allah, it is for ourselves. And we forget that this poor human being has been working all the day, taking care of the kids, taking care of the house, preparing it for us. And in addition to that, for those who are lucky among us, she is also learning Islam and teaching Islam and to her kids and to other people. So we forget all this. She's doing actually much more than what we are doing. And we are the big master, the Lord's. We come and treat her in a very bad way. As the Prophet ﷺ described, he said, the one of you will, that is, as if he's saying, don't you feel ashamed of yourselves that you beat your wife like somebody beats his runaway slave at the beginning of the day and then sleeps with her at the end of the day. So a person should, if he loves her at some time of the day and he has this emotion and feeling of second that is described in the Quran dwelling to her, then this should be throughout the day. This is something that we feel is missing in the lives of Muslims. Even in the lives of some of the most practicing among them. And we have to remember the character of the Prophet ﷺ in this regard, and his command that we be good to our wives, and that the people who are good, they are among the best. Who are good to their wives and in their house, they are among the best. خيركم, the best among you, and the best among us are the closest to him on the day of judgment, and the more we love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us not just see one side of the picture. Usually the man only sees the side that pertains to him. So he says, you are obliged to obey me. Allah, the Prophet ﷺ says that the woman will not fulfill her right, her لا تؤدي المرأة حق ربها حتى تؤدي حق زوجها. She will not fulfill her right before her Lord until she fulfills the right of her husband. Or if I were to order anybody to bow to anybody else, I would order the woman to bow to her husband because of his right upon her. So we see this part, we memorize these ahadith very well, and we tell them to our wives day and night so that they know them by heart. But when we come to the other ahadith which tell us how we are supposed to deal with them, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, Allah says in the Quran, deal with them with kindness, we totally forget about this. This is not part of our knowledge. So these are some examples of the kindness of the Prophet ﷺ in his house. He was kind to the children. We have ahadith which tell us how he used to go walk in the street and talk to the kids and play with them in a playful manner. When he sits with a little boy, he teaches him a lesson in a very kind way, as in the case of Ibn Salama, the child of Salama, whom the Prophet saw him, and he was in his house, of course, living in his house because he is the son of his wife. So he saw him eating from the food from all over the place. So he said, Ya Ghulam, in a nice way. He did not say, he did not slap him and throw him out of the room and say, go out and sit somewhere else. I want to eat peacefully. I don't want anybody to mess my plate for me. No, as we do usually, right? He said, Ya Ghulam, Bismillah. Oh boy, say Bismillah. What will be your meaning? And eat with your right hand. What will be my meaning? And eat from the side nearest to you. So he said, this young boy learned the lesson, and it continued. He said, this is the way that I ate from that time on. I never ate except as the Prophet told me. So in his kindness, in his approach of teaching the child, he taught him and the ummah beyond him a lesson that continued with him the rest of his life, and it continues with us as a very important sunnah that we all try to apply. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ. You know, if we start counting and reading the ahadith which show the kindness and great manner and character of the Prophet ﷺ, it will not end. So I'll end the examples with just two of them, but very briefly. I won't tell the whole hadith. One of them was when the Arabi man came to the masjid, a man who is ignorant about Islam, completely ignorant, from the desert, a Bedouin, came to the masjid, and you know the masjid at that time did not have carpets like our masajid. It was just earth or soil. So he came to the masjid, and he wants beside one of the supports in the masjid or pillars, and urinated there. So the Sahaba were so angry, so mad, they wanted to kill him. And the Prophet ﷺ told them, do not la ta'jilu aw tamassu, which means do not interrupt him, let him finish. And then after he finished, he said, just bring a pail of water and pour it over the place where he urinated. That will clean it, because the earth will absorb that. And then he brought him to him and talked to him in a nice way. And the man was so happy with the Prophet ﷺ that he said, Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammada wa la tarham ma'ana ahada. Oh Allah, have mercy on me and Muhammad, but do not have mercy on anyone else besides us. So he felt that everybody else did not like him as much as the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لَقَدْ حَجَّرْتَ وَاسِعَ, you are narrowing a wide mercy, narrowing it to just two people. So again, you see, his manner of talking with people was very kind. The other example was that of Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami. So he came to pray. They were in the prayer when he entered the masjid. So he stood praying like them, and somebody sneezed, so he said, Ya Rahmukallah, while he's in the prayer. So the people looked at him, and according to Sheikh Albani Hafizahullah, this was at a time when before when it was still permitted, even though so the prayer was not all ordained or prescribed in its final form together. It was changing its form gradually. In the beginning, people used to be able to talk to each other or say Salaamu Alaikum, wa Alaikum Salaam, and so on. And gradually, things became more and more in the form, final form that we know it now. So when he sneezed, when that man sneezed and he said, Ya Alhamdulillah, people looked at him. They were able to look at, still permitted to look at that man. So they looked at him and he said, Wayha ummi, ma lakum tanzuruna ilayh. Woe be to my mother, why are you looking at me like this? So they started hitting their thighs, and he said, when I saw them doing that, I knew that they are telling me to be silent. So I was silent. And then when the prayer was finished, he says, the Prophet ﷺ called me to him. He was expecting him to start reproaching him in a hard way, but instead he said, Oh Allah, ma jaharani wa la naharani wa la darabani. He neither hit me, nor was harsh in reproaching me, nor anything like that. He all he told me, this prayer, it's not permitted to say in it any of the talk that usually people say outside the prayer. So when he talked to him in this manner, the Ma'alim al-Hakam was so happy that he started asking him question after question, including the question that you probably know about this late girl that was tending his sheep, and she lost one of them, and he hit her, and now he wanted to see if he was supposed to see her or not, and the Prophet ﷺ advised him in that regard. So as I said, the examples of the kindness and good manners of the Prophet ﷺ are almost infinite. They cannot be easily encompassed, and to talk about the good manners in the general sense that I started my talk with, that would include all of his teachings, all of his sunnah, all of his practices. Where in the best of manners that you can imagine as a human being to take or to do. How are we to attain good manners? Now that we know the importance of the good manners, and that our example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom we are supposed to imitate and follow the example in good manners, was adorned with these good manners. How can we attain some of them at least? There are many things that we can do, and again I will just give a brief proposition or thing that we can do. First of them, we have to know the sunnah, of course. Without knowledge, like any other practice of Islam, if we do not know it, we will not be able to do it. So we have to learn. We have to learn the sunnah. What are the good manners? What are not the good manners? So we practice what is good, we avoid what is bad. Otherwise, we may do something thinking it is good and it turns out to be bad. If we look at the standards of people, we find that the good manners to them are not fixed. They change from time to time because they apply their reason, which is limited. And the good manners as ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are permanent and fixed to all ages, to all peoples. So it's not like drinking alcohol would be prohibited at some time and then permitted a few years later and so on. So at some time it is considered bad, some other time it is good. It is not like that in Islam. All smoking, now it is bad, it's prohibited in more and more places. Even amazingly, I came on a flight, and this is the first time I fly across the Atlantic, and it is prohibited to smoke. Smoking is prohibited in the whole plane. So people are making the good manners for themselves, which is good. I mean, in this case, it agrees with Islam. Islam, from the beginning, would discourage, have decided that smoking is prohibited, based on the evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. So the manners in Islam are fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not by human beings. Zina is not sometimes permissible, in our time permissible. In previous times, last century it was haram, it is always haram. And so on. So we have to know these good manners. If we go by the standards of people, we'll be completely lost. So we have to have the knowledge in order to follow. That's the first thing to know. Second thing, we need patience. We need to force ourselves on in doing good manners. Because if we say, I just learned that this is good, mashallah, being truthful is good, casting down my eyesight is good, but I do not force myself to do it, I will not do it. The human soul needs, like an animal, like a horse that you get from the wild wilderness. You want to be able to ride it properly, you have to train it. And you have to be patient with it. The same for ourselves. We have to train ourselves and be patient with ourselves until we are consistent in doing the good manner that we want to do. An Arabic line of poem says, a poetry says, وَالنَّفْسُ كَالطِّفْلِ إِنْ تَتْرُكْهُ شَبَّ عَلَى حُبِّ الرِّضَاءِ وَإِنْ تَصْطِمْهُ يَنْصَطِمْ. Which means the human soul is like the child or the baby. If you, what he calls the farm in English, I forget the word for it. If you told him to mean, which is mean him, if you mean the child, is that okay? Then, if you leave him alone, he will grow up loving to continue to nurse from his mother. But if you wean him, he will be weaned. So as we know that the parents among us, we know that weaning is not an easy experience. It is hard for a few days or a couple of weeks until the child is totally weaned. Similarly for us, when we want to wean ourselves from a certain bad character and force ourselves to do good character, it is not necessarily going to be a smooth running thing. It will have some, there will be some difficulty, but we have to accept this fact and anticipate it so that we deal with it in a proper way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ, which means acquiring knowledge, to have the knowledge is attained through seeking it. We cannot be like, again, the example of the Sufis, or some of the Sufis, who believe in something called العلم الندني, which means they do a certain kind of bid'ah, of dhikr, certain dhikrs so many thousands of times, for such a long period of time, that eventually they come so close to Allah Azza wa Jal that they acquire the direct knowledge from Him. Ladunni means from ladunhu, which means from Him. The from Him knowledge. This is the expression. I don't know why they use this big expression, but that's what it means. That they get the knowledge from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala directly. There's nothing like this, except for the prophets who get the revelation, and none of the prophets is supposed to get this kind of knowledge. So knowledge is by seeking it. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. Then he says, وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ, and patience, to have this quality of being patient. When somebody tries to anger you, that is the word حلم in English, in Arabic, it is different from sabr. Sabr is usually to a patience in the situation where something hard or dislike happens to you, something that hurts you or harms you or you are displeased with, and you are patient. That is, you do not object to the command, to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is sabr. But halim, to be halim, it is when somebody does something to anger you and you do not get angry. That is halim. This is this kind of patience. And Allah Azza wa Jal described Ismail as being a patient boy, Ghulam Halim, in this sense of patience, that he would not be angered by the harm of people to him. So the Prophet is saying, Halim is by Tahallum, to acquire this quality, you have to make yourself do it. Which means, somebody comes and says words to anger me. I want to go to stand up and punch him or something, but I contain myself and I control myself and I keep the things and say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, may Allah forgive him or may Allah guide him or something like that. That is forcing myself to do it. So if I force myself once, twice, three times, four times, gradually it becomes a quality in me. So I acquire the quality of hilm. And similarly for other characters. So the scholars say that the qualities of khuluq, of manners, in a Islam, in a person, a human being, are of two types. Some of them are innate in the person. That is, some people have the quality that they get angry faster than others. Or have tendency to this thing or that thing. This different manners to be generous, some people more generous, some people less generous, and so on. These qualities, whose basis is innate in the person, it is created in him, they can further be improved and changed by training. So we can't force ourselves to do certain qualities by educating ourselves, by doing it again and again until it becomes a normal habit in us, like in this hadith. So what we do is force ourselves to do the good qualities, the good characters, and then gradually, inshallah, these become natural instincts in us, or close to that. And then one thing we can do to improve our character is to try to imitate the people who are of good character, which means take them as example, in other words, in these characters, not in everything, in these particular characters. So, and of course, the best of those is whom? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we try to learn what are his great characters, and try from that. He was most generous. He wouldn't leave anything with him. If anybody asked him for anything, he would not find it in himself to refuse. He would give everything. And he said, whatever you ask me, I am going to give you. He said, whatever you ask me, I will give you. He cannot say no. But be careful, because you may ask me for something and it will be a piece of fire, which means you'll be asking for something that you do not deserve to get it, or somebody else needs it more than you. So in that case, you are asking for a piece of the fire. So he was most generous. And as also the hadith about concerning Ramadan, that says that كان أجود الناس وكان أجود ما يكون في رمضان يستخدم صلى الله عليه وسلم was the most generous being, or a human being, and he was most generous in Ramadan, even more than the normal. So this is a quality in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We try to have it in ourselves. So I see somebody in need of some help, and I can give him, for example, £10, and I can easily give him £10. I can also give him £20, but I say maybe I should only give him £10, because £20 is more dear to me than £10, of course. So I have £10 more in my pocket. But if I force myself, no, I will give him to train myself to be generous. Once, twice, three times, you'll find that becomes a quality. That you will be generous, and people will say, this is, it's not for the sake of the people, but people will take lessons from you in that case. Look, he's generous, he doesn't care about what he has. And mashallah, whatever he gives, Allah replaces this for him, because this is a promise from the Prophet, from Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is how we acquire the good qualities, by forcing ourselves to do them, and by seeing good examples who are doing these things, and try to imitate them in them. And the highest examples for us are the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And as the Arab poet again says, different one, فتشبهوا إن لم تكونوا مثلهم إن التشبه بالكرام فلاح. It is said concerning the Sahaba, it says, imitate them if you are not like them, because even if you cannot be just like them, at least imitate them, because imitating the honorable people is a success in itself. The final thing that I want to mention of the advice on how to acquire a good character is to be in the company of good people. This is very important, that to be in the company of good Muslims, because as the Prophet said, المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالف, which means a human being, a person, is in accordance with the deen, with the life, with the way of life of his khalil, with the approach and manner of his khalil. So let each one of you see whom he is taking as his khalil. Khalil is the close one, or the beloved one, the closest one to him, his intimate friend. So be careful whom you take as your intimate friends. And he said in the hadith that I'm sure all of you have heard, that the good companion and the bad companion, the example of them, is like بائع المسك ونافخ الكير. It's like the example of the one who sells perfumes and one who blows the bellows. So this is the example. He says, as for بائع المسك, if this is your companion, the one who sells perfumes, then when you sit with him, you either buy from him, or which means you buy something good, perfume, something nice with nice smell, or he may give you something, he give you a gift of some person, or at the worst case, the least case, you would smell the perfume from him, the perfume that he's selling. So in all cases, you are getting benefit from him. As for Janice's soul, the bad companion is like the one who is blowing the bellows, because you either would smell bad smell from him, or he would burn you clothes, the spark that comes from his fire. So in both cases, you are being harmed by him. So you have to look for the good companion, that you will get the benefit from him, the benefit of the knowledge, that we can get it directly, learn it, or at least listen to some good words from him, that we do not acquire them ourselves. So it is very important to have the good company, and we know the many ahadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commands us to stay with the Jama'ah, and the Jama'ah is the good company, the people who are in accordance with the correct Islam. If we stay with them, then inshallah we will be protected from the attacks of the shaitan, who attacks the same and scattered sheep. So these are, as I said, brief advices, and we can find many more in the Sunnah and the books of the scholars as to how to attain the good character, which is the basic quality and important description of a believer.